We're looking at a topic that perhaps is one that we all ask about, when God says no to our prayers. Today we want to look at some of these different aspects of it and trust it'll be helpful. From 2 Corinthians 12, we want to read a few verses of that to encourage us as we begin. 2 Corinthians 12, begin at verse 6 from the New Kings. In James, for though I might desire to boast, and Paul is talking here, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And let's pray. Lord, we have a tremendous example of the Apostle Paul as we read his testimony here. And everyone in this audience today have struggled with unanswered prayer. We ask you, Lord God, that by your Spirit, that you would teach each one of us, that you'd minister to us, that you'd give us that grace and strength to encourage our hearts during these days. And Lord, we recognize that some are going through some very deep waters even today, and we lift them up. We just pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would teach us, and thank you. In Christ's name, amen. All of us have experienced pain and woundedness. There's not a person in this audience, unless you're too young to remember, but I think most of them have moved on, some to a greater extent than others. And why? And I've looked at this a few times over the last few years, because we live in a fallen world. Satan is the god of this world, who's blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on to them. We live in a fallen world. Satan is the god of this world, as God's word says. All problems are unique to us. You may have a problem that seems similar to somebody else, but no, because it's so personal, it's unique to you. And then we choose how we are going to cope and respond with this pain. How we respond and cope with this pain. And we know from Paul's life, he turned to the one that could help him. And then everyone has experienced unanswered prayer. Everyone. Job struggled with unanswered prayer. Abraham struggled with unanswered prayer. Moses and David, Paul, and even Jesus, to a certain extent, struggled with unanswered prayer. In Luke 22, as Jesus was praying, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus knew the answer, that he still had to go to the cross, but that wasn't, that he didn't have a struggle during that time. All believers have struggled with unanswered prayer. Why does God not answer? Over the years in counseling, I guess it's been about 45 years, I would have people come in that have been treated so horribly in a marriage, in a family. And as we begin to share with them, they would ask a lot of questions. And one question they would ask was this: where was God when I was going through this abuse? Where was God when I was going through this pain? And I said, oh, that question's easy to answer. That question's easy to answer when you were being raped or you were forced to go through an abortion or you continually got beat up by your dad. That question's easy because Jesus was there crying with you as you were crying during that time. But the second question is always more difficult to answer, and that is, why didn't God do something about it if he was there? And that's the whole key as we talk about unanswered prayer. Why doesn't God do some of those things? And I just trust that some of the things that I will share today that God has taught me over the years would be helpful to you as you look at this question about unanswered prayer. All believers have struggled with unanswered prayer. Some of you would look back on your life and you would recognize very, very clearly that some of the answers you wanted when you were a child were never, ever given. God seemed to be quiet. The heavens were like brass. Nothing moved. And that's what we want to talk about today. Scripture said, Paul speaking, God saying to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Goes on to say, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. The question is, how do we understand and accept God is sufficient for us when we do not hear or have our prayers answered? How do we understand that from God's point? Well, we want to look at that today for a few minutes, and I trust some of the things that God has taught me over the years will be helpful to you. God's answered for unanswered prayer. I believe that God is sovereign. First of all, I'm going to give you kind of the theological underpinnings, biblical underpinnings of some of this. And then we want to turn it into the practical. Because God's word is only important to us or helpful to us if we obey it and put it into practice. Otherwise, it's just another book. Maybe you heard me say this. Before I was a Christian, I was going with a young lady back in Kenora, Ontario. Nice lady. Her mom was a committed churchgoer. I don't believe that she was a believer, but raised her children that way. Was trying to encourage her husband to go to church to read the Bible. And in his frustration and anger towards his wife, one weekend, he took out the Bible and read it from cover to cover. He threw it at her and he said, now I want you to shut up. I've read the Bible through. I don't want to hear anything more about God or the Bible anymore. See, we can know these things. We can read about them, but if they don't have any impact on our life, they're not very, very important. So God is sovereign. Dear ones, whether we believe it or not, he never makes mistakes. He never makes mistakes. He says, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my honor will I not give to any other, neither my praise to any graven image. The book of Proverbs talks about Almighty God. Says, who has ascended up into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the winds in his fist? Who controls everything? And goes on to say, what is his name and what is his son's name, if you can tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Almighty God is in control. He is sovereign. Now we move into the New Testament and Paul talks about Christ. Christ who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality dwelling in unapproachable light, which no man can see, has seen or can see. To him be honor and everlasting power. God who is eternal in the heavens is sovereign. He is in control of everything. Of course, unanswered prayer is always Why doesn't God do something in this situation? Why doesn't God change people's lives? Why doesn't God stop wars? Remember a colleague, my daughters that worked together in mental health, they were both psychologists. One thing he said to my daughter when we were talking about some of these things, he said, I could never believe in God who would kill his son. I have a son, his name is Jonathan, and I could not bear to have anything happen to my son. See, God's way is different than ours. Leads me to the next point here. God's thoughts and ways are different than ours. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And again, we can look at that and say, you know, that kind of makes sense. He's God. We need to accept that. But when it comes right down to where we live and what we're going through, again, we're saying, even though his thoughts and ways are different, I would like things to be different in my life. I would like my thoughts to be his thoughts. I want my ways to be his ways. Well, that's why he's sovereign, because he will do what he needs to do in our lives. It's a matter of whether we'll obey or not. And then God is love and God is power. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. We all know, of course, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm so very, very thankful that there is verses like 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Very, very thankful that God continued by the Holy Spirit to convict me of my sin. He was not willing that I should perish, but that I would come to him. As a young man struggling with a lot of things, coming out of a foster system, kicked out of the foster home, trying to find out who I was, trying to figure out who God was, thinking about taking my life because life was ended. But God, in his mercy, he was not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but it was long-suffering to usward. He was long-suffering to me, continued to convict me by the Holy Spirit that I needed to turn my life over to him. And I'm so very, very thankful that that is what happened. And then he leads us, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God wants to lead us. A lot of times people will say, I'd love to be led by God as long as he leads me in the direction that I want to go. And God doesn't do that, because he is sovereign. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But we know that God is love and God is power. Think of that passage when David was told, David, you cannot build the temple because you're a man of war, but your son Solomon will build the temple. But you're allowed to give money. You're allowed to give your resources to pay for the temple. And some scholars that are a lot more brighter than I am and went through the Jewish numbering system, what shekels and all these were, and come out with something like $80 million in gold, $20 million in silver, that David gave for the building of the temple, plus many, many other things. And even though he didn't build it, he didn't dedicate it during that time. Out of 1 Chronicles, he said, "Thine, O God, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens is thine. Thine is the kingdom, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." David understood very, very clearly that Almighty God was love and Almighty God was power. But that didn't mean he didn't have unanswered prayer. A number of his children were killed. Some were destroyed in different ways. His own son, Absalom, who he loved very, very much, got caught up in the tree by his hair. And his chief general came along with some darts and drilled his heart with these darts. And yet David still would proclaim God as sovereign, someone who loved him with an everlasting love. And that's why he could say something like this. And then for love and power, how could we ever forget Psalm 23, verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Sometimes we can look back, and I guess this is a week I can look back. The 21st was the day that 3 years ago that Fern said goodbye to me and said hello to Jesus. On Tuesday, we had the memorial service 3 years ago right here in this place. As I look back on that, I am so very, very, very thankful that I knew God in a personal way. What a beautiful name, that name of Jesus, because he is almighty power. He gives grace, he gives strength in time of needs. Even though he doesn't answer the prayers we want, we understand that he is there to minister to us and give us that grace to help in time of need. Yes, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And dear ones, unless the rapture comes, we will all go through that valley of the shadow of death. By ourselves, with our loved ones, whatever it is. But I am so very, very thankful that we have someone that carries us and looks after us. And how true it is, God is a God of love, and he is a God of power. And we need to appreciate that. And then there's going to be a time, as Philippians says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, things in heaven and things in earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every once in a while, I come across people that would make a statement such as, "I would never bow down to him." God's word is very, very clear. And God's word has never, ever missed a beat. It's never had a wrong date, even though we don't totally understand it. There will be a day that we'll bow before Jesus. And friends, when we do it in this life, it's going to be wonderful over there. And I'll talk about that in a few moments. Having said that, then we begin to bring it into the personalization of Scripture. God wants us to trust him, regardless of the circumstances. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That was one scripture passage that I learned fairly early as a Christian. I guess that followed quick on the heels of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Because I came out of an unsaved background, didn't know too much about some of these things, I was so very, very thankful for the Word of God. because that empowers us to do what we need to do, even though it would appear that God doesn't love us because our prayers are not answered. We need to accept that Almighty God is sovereign. Now, up till now, you probably would have said, yeah, that sounds good. That God is sovereign. I mean, if there's a God, I guess that makes good sense. And I guess that also makes good sense that if he's really God, his thoughts and ways would be different than mine because I'm not God. And I would suppose that if he's a God, he would love the ones he made, and so I would accept the fact that, yeah, I guess God is a God of love. That sounds okay. And he's a God of power. Yeah, that makes sense. I guess it does. The man on the street would say something like that. But I hope it wouldn't be the believer that has Christ within their life would just accept that, because we need to personalize this. And so we take these points and we look at it from a personal. We need to accept the fact that God is sovereign. And if God is sovereign, he's going to do things in your life that you might not like him to do in your life. There's going to be hurts and pains that you weren't counting on. There's going to be disappointments that you weren't prepared for. And Jesus said it so clearly in John 16:33. He said, in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Expect it. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the beautiful thing that if God's in charge in our life, he's not going to do some things that he can't handle as we move along in this life. We need to accept the fact that Almighty God is sovereign in our personal life. I'm going to pause at each one of these and ask the question, do you believe that he is sovereign in your life? That God is in charge of your life? Firstly, you would never accept that unless there was a time in your life where you invited Jesus Christ to come into your life and you asked him to be your Savior and you asked him to be Lord in your life. And you said, yes, Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I recognize that I can never save myself. I need the Lord Jesus to do that. And then we need to confess that and say, yes, I will invite Christ to come into my life. Whenever I preach, I want to make sure that's clear. 2 days ago, we were at a funeral. I wanted to make sure that everybody that was there at least heard the message that they needed to know Jesus Christ personally. And as I looked over that audience, the majority of them were very, very old. And I don't mean that disrespectful. And I don't know how many in that audience had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I wanted to make sure that the gospel was presented the same way here. Perhaps you've been a churchgoer, but you've never said yes to Jesus Christ. Today would be a good day. At the end of the service, I'm just going to give you an opportunity, whether it's for that, or maybe you're struggling with unanswered prayer. And maybe you need to say, God, I'm just tired of fighting with you. Time for me to give up. And I need you to really touch my life. So we need to accept that Almighty God is sovereign. You'd have a hard time doing that unless you know him personally. Secondly, we need to believe and accept that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. We need to recognize that God's ways are not our ways. He does things differently than we will. Sometimes we make plans and we think this is the way we're going to go. But God had other ideas. I thought as I was trained as a teacher that I would probably teach English for many, many years. But his thoughts and his ways were different than mine. It was a good relationship. Not too far from here is a school called Evan Hardy Collegiate. By that time, I'd already had my master's in educational psychology. The major in English. End of each month, I would just go down to the office and write BP on the sheet of paper, and I'd pick up a nice big fat check and move on, thinking that that's God's plan for me. But you know, he had different thoughts, he had different ways for me. As we began to share with a number of people, teachers and medical doctors and lawyers and businessmen, began to realize that something was needed in our city that would help to change people's lives. So we began to pray for, and I began to pray, other men and women began to pray for the ministry. And so, May 1975, I went to the principal and said, at the end of June, I'll be finished. I'm moving on. Mrs. Freund, who Wayne would know because we taught with her, she was worried about me not having anything to eat for my family. During my time at Evan Hardy, both Corley and Boyd were born, one in 72 and one in 74. Margaret Freund was concerned, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I know Jesus, I know God, and I'm going to trust him to meet the need of Christian counseling services. So in 1975, we began that work, and I based it on Hudson Taylor's teaching, where he said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. So dear ones, over that 25 years that God allowed me to direct that agency, that was the foundation. God, is this your work? Yes, we did. We believed it was. God, are we doing it the way you want us to? And we believed as we prayed, as people spoke into our lives, we believed we were doing it the right way. 25 years, we were never in debt. We had three building programs, 818 Broadway. Finished that and moved on to a building in Louise. Bought that building, renovated that building. The building was completely paid for when I left the ministry after 25 years. God's ways were not my ways, his thoughts, not my thoughts. You see, it was because I was connected to that beautiful name, the name of Jesus. I understood what he wanted to do in my life and the life of many other people. And over the years, thousands of people were touched. As I look at this audience today, I could honestly say, and I'm giving God the praise and honor and glory, that we could fill this building very easily with all the ones that we work with who've been involved in some type of ministry over the last 40 years. And I give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. I look back and say, what if my thoughts and ways were to continue to be a teacher? An English teacher. I think I was fairly competent. Coached a little bit of football, a little bit of basketball, and taught English. That was not God's plan. And over the years, we had an opportunity to lead hundreds and hundreds of people to Jesus Christ. Get letters from different people. See people in different churches. And God ministered to them and touched their lives. See, we need to accept the fact that our thoughts and our ways are not his. But we need to obey him. And over the years, God has been gracious and loving and kind. He's allowed me to help 9 other organizations start Christian counseling centers. Prince George, BC, Kelowna, throughout Alberta, Saskatchewan, right out to Morden, Manitoba. And I give the honor and glory to Christ. But the foundation was always this, when I was training the ones to look after this. I would say, you need to build it on something that I built it on. Hudson Taylor's words, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply, never. I'm so very, very thankful that my ways did not get in the ways of God. I'm very, very thankful that I had people that loved me and spoke into my life and prayed for me. And one of them was my mother-in-law, Fern's mom. Every month for 25 years, she sent in a check to Christian Counseling Services. Every month. This past November, I had the wonderful privilege to send her on her way at 105 years of age. See, I would have missed all that if I wanted to do just my own thing, my own ways. So I'm saying that to you, dear ones, to encourage you. Some of you are young and you're looking for some things in life. Make sure you're listening to Almighty God. Every once in a while, people would say to me, well, Bruce, I think you ought to do this. I think you ought to do that. And I'd say, when God tells me to do that, I'll do that. I wanted to make sure that I spent my early mornings with the Lord, because that's where I get my peace and love and power. And even though sometimes people will be concerned about what's going to happen with me in terms of what I'm going to eat or whatever, I'm never ever worried about that, because God has never ever missed a beat. I'm going to get a little preachy just for a moment. It started because a godly man looked me in the eye and said, Bruce, you just became a Christian. Now you need to start tithing. Within a month, I started tithing. And that is one of the key reasons why I can look back and never, ever be concerned that God would not be there to meet my needs. And he did, again and again and again. As Fern and I were praying one day when we came home, I said, honey, I think God wants us to start a counseling center. She said, that's good, let's do it. And that's how we started. God's ways are different than our ways. His thoughts are different than our thoughts. And sometimes people will say, well, Bruce, I can't afford to tithe. And I say, you can't afford not to. Let me just be very clear for a moment. If you don't give it to God, you'll give it to Satan. If you don't give it to God, Satan will rob you, broken down cars, homes, health, relationships. Dear ones, don't cheat God. Malachi says, test me, test me. And over the years, through many, many, many years of education, many years of ministry, we tested God, and he proved faithful. So let me encourage you to be faithful, because he will honor you. And as a young kid, to start out that way, what a blessing, as I look back on that. God was so faithful. We need to believe and accept, not just a mental thought, dear ones. We need to believe. Believe is an action word. That means put something into action. Believe and accept that God's thoughts and ways are different than ours. And then we need to believe that God is love and he is power. He is power. I don't have time to do it, but probably taught spiritual warfare in the Christianette Seminary at Briarcrest more than any other class. Of course, then you get into the demonology area, and that's when you see God's power at work. God's love and power, we need to accept that. You feel God loves you? He loves you with an everlasting love. He died to save you. He has got enough power to meet every need that you have, that you will ever have, if you just trust him. Yes, even through unanswered prayer. And as I said, it's the anniversary of my sweetheart's homegoing. Over the years, I've worked with a number of people in ministry, including pastors. And they'd say to me, Bruce, I've stood at the graveside of many, many people. Didn't have much of an impact on me. But when I stood at the graveside of my wife or one of my children, it had such a tremendous impact on me in a negative way. And you see, God is there with us. We need to accept the fact that he is love and he is power. And then we need to believe and accept that Jesus Christ wants us to walk in humbleness. It's not about me. I shared what God did in my life. I found out what his marching orders were early each morning, and I continued to do that. Nearly 75. But yes, I was up early this morning, not just prayer message, but to meet with the King. Find out what he wanted to do in my life today. And I give him all the praise, all the honor and glory. Because for a welfare kid, it didn't start out very good. Both parents alcoholics, three brothers were alcoholic, didn't start out very good. But I understand the power and love of Almighty God. We need to believe that Jesus Christ wants us to walk in humbleness before him. God's word says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. You're walking in right relationship with Jesus Christ, you can resist him steadfast in the faith. If you're in a quandary over that and you're struggling over unanswered prayer and you choose not to obey him, then dear ones, you're on your own. You might as well have the power of God in your life because he's going to give you that victory. Then always have a heavenly perspective. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Need to be looking upward. As Colossians 3 says, you then be risen with Christ, or if you're a believer in Christ, you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God. When Christ shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And I'm going to touch on that in just a moment. You appear with him in glory. But verse 5 says, put to death your flesh. Don't allow your flesh, don't allow your dictates of your flesh and mind to control you. Let Almighty God do that. So we need to remember there's a great day coming. So we need to ask God to keep us strong and committed. Ephesians 6 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That passage from 1 Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As I'm coming to a conclusion, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come sit on the front, sit in the chairs, come and pray. If you're not able, you can take a moment and pray. And maybe you need to say today, God, I'm so sick. I'm so angry. I'm so frustrated over unanswered prayer. I'm just going to give my life totally to you and let you look after it. The one that Satan loves the most is the miserable Christian that does not want to walk close to Jesus. Because you're not a good testimony to your family. You're not a good testimony to where you work. And you're not a good testimony to the Church of Jesus Christ. And so we need to ask God to do something about it. And perhaps you've never invited Christ to come into your life. I'd like to talk to you about that as well. And I can meet you at the front. There's a great day coming for the believer. The rapture of the church. Revelation 19. Writer John says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, that's us, all we that know Jesus Christ, his personal Savior, will be there. And his wife has made herself ready. How do we make ourselves ready? By inviting Christ to come into our life and to allow the blood of Christ to make us clean. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And of course, I mentioned, I trust you will be there. But there's one thing that will happen just before that marriage supper of the Lamb. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that's the Christians, and we will give account of what we've done in our body, in our life, whether it's good or bad. There's going to be a judgment for the Christian. When people say there's not going to be any tears in heaven, not in the new heaven, but during that time there will be tears because we'll regret that we just didn't give all our life to Jesus Christ. We robbed God or other people. We didn't do what we were supposed to do as husbands or wives or children. So this is a good time to make it right, because heaven is fast approaching. And we know that we have a number that have just passed on in the last little while. What do I want to leave you with, dear ones? Not only is the name Jesus beautiful, but it indeed is powerful. He is the one that wants to walk with you. Don't miss a day without being in God's word. Don't miss a day without being in prayer. Get the memorized scripture. That's where your power comes from. When the enemy comes and attacks you, use God's word. That's what Jesus did. That's how you're going to win the battle. So in a moment, music team are going to be singing Sovereign Over Us. We talked about God being sovereign. Is he sovereign over you? At the end of the service, you might want to just come and say, God, I need a new change in my life. I'm kind of miserable. I'm not very happy as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, whatever. And you can make it right today. And maybe you've never invited Christ to come into your life, and this would be a good time to do it. And let's pray.